They're all digital immigrants. I call them digital immigrants.
It took governments 10 to 15 years to realize that Amazon was destroying bookshops. Well, I'm quite a duplicitous business person at the minute. I have two big businesses. One, the main one that brought us together as friends, is Special Ops Socials, which is a social media marketing company, and it focuses on organic growth.
Because I tell people, if you don't have marketing and sales, you just have an expensive hobby.
Yeah. I have been a rugby league coach, like I say, for a quarter of a century. And
hey, everyone. Welcome to Pivot to Thrive podcast. This is your ultimate destination to elevate your mindset, marketing, and sales strategies for ultimate business growth. I'm your host, Dr. Priya, and I'm here to inspire and guide you on your journey to financial independence. My mission in life is very simple: to empower entrepreneurs like you with simple, actionable insights and easy to implement strategies that will transform your online business into a thriving success. Now, here's the deal. If your current strategy in life or business isn't working, don't quit. Just pivot. And it's important you understand that the goal for pivoting life and business isn't just to adapt and survive, but to truly thrive in growth, success, and abundance. So, in this podcast, we'll dive deep into the mindset shifts you need to break free from cultural barriers and embrace your true potential. We'll discuss cutting-edge marketing and sales techniques that you can apply to your business right away. Together, we'll create a powerful belief system that'll guide you towards the life you truly desire. So, grab a cup of coffee or even a fancy glass of wine, and let's start pivoting towards the success you've always dreamed of.
Hey Lee, welcome to Pivot to Thrive podcast. I'm super excited to have you. You might be the last guest for 2023. Really, really special episode, I must say. So a quick 60-second or 90-second intro about yourself, please, for listeners.
Well, I'm quite a duplicitous business person at the minute. I have two big businesses. One, the main one that brought us together as friends, is Special Ops Socials, or some people have started calling it So Social, which is a social media marketing company, and it focuses on organic growth through whichever social media channels a business wants to use, and organic prior to advertising. And then I've also been a rugby league coach for 25 years now, I think it is. And in the last 6 years, I run a big rugby league coaching business. And I've been in a little bit of inertia the last sort of 6 months, deciding which way to go. And literally in the last month, I've sort of repurposed the rugby league business, and it's given me a clear run with a social media business as well, so I can do both.
Okay, so you're going to do both. That's the final verdict?
Yeah.
Does it kind of one fall into the other?
One did lead to the other, because I have been a rugby league coach, like I say, for a quarter of a century. And I know what you're thinking, I don't look old enough, but I did start young. And I decided to run a business in it just over 6 years ago as we speak now. And when I set my website, all the peripheries up, so the t-shirts, the backdrop, I had no money left for advertising. And I still had an old-fashioned business mindset. I sort of thought to myself, oh yeah, you know, I will need a Facebook page. I will need an Instagram page. But I actually had to, at that point, when I realized I had nothing left for advertising, work out how I could actually sell through Facebook and Instagram at the time, as it was. And I organically grew it. As I sit here today, it gets anything between 1 million and 2 million views a month on Facebook alone. There's 30 odd thousand followers. I could literally post something now and I'll get a reaction off several people straight away. I seem to be at a critical mass from it. So that led me to develop all these social media skills, if you like, including advertising and whatnot. But I always put the emphasis on the organic stuff first. What's the point of paying for advertising if you don't need to? And I eventually morphed into a social media marketing guy too, because if you go back 30 years, I started out in a marketing department when I left university. So it's like I've gone full circle.
I know, it's a whole new circle, isn't it? So in terms of rugby coaching, I understand it's in person, or did you start off online?
Started off online. And I mean, we've just had a conversation off recording about AI, and I guess with AI, we're in the very much the infancy of understanding how we can use it in 2024. if you imagine where some people were in terms of online presence 6 years ago, a lot of people, particularly the people involved in rugby league, were not where you think they should be. So they'd gone through a phase. A lot of clubs had real good websites 10 years ago. And then after running the website for 2 or 3 years, they got fed up of it and just let it go to rot. You know, and what I found, Priya, was that I had to pivot, which I know you're a big believer in, because the rugby league world wasn't quite ready yet for the online revolution, in inverted commas, that I was trying to give it. Fast forward 6 years or 5.5 years, it's probably a lot closer to being there now.
How did you manage the initial resistance? Because when something is new, especially with Australia, what I find is change management is really, really hard, right?
Yeah.
Especially for sport like rugby, people are more inclined to think like, go to the playground, take the ball and coach. Yeah. So how did you handle that resistance or change management?
I marketed it as the equivalent of a textbook. So I'll give you an example. I was a teacher at the time, so I've 20-odd years until 2.5 years ago. And during COVID, when we in Queensland had 5 weeks where schools were locked down, basically just essential workers, children, all the teachers had to develop online resources to teach their children during that time. My full-time table was a rugby league program. So all I did for every student was give them a password to my website.
How smart is that?
And everyone else had to convert from textbook to electronic format to try and give their students something. I argued, well, my textbook's already ready. It's online, just in a video format and a PDF format and whatnot. So my work during that period, and I hope Education Queensland don't ask for their money back, but honestly, it probably took me 2 hours to give everybody the passwords and that was it.
Did you focus on a particular school or a geographical area? How did you market that?
So back then I was a teacher out of school. So that there was for those kids in that program. In terms of selling the product into the general populace, I actually started going to the user. I went for the individual user originally because I wanted to get some kind of gravitas in the community before I went to bigger organizations. So clubs, schools, governing bodies and whatnot. So I did it the wrong way around. I went to the individuals first just because I wanted coaches at clubs to say, yeah, this is a good product. Go to the club and say, can we get this for everyone? Like I said, my budget just wasn't there at the time. So I had to make some sales to grow the budget to try and get it to a wider community. So I actually did it. So I had my time all over again and I had budget. Well, first of all, I'd save some money for social media marketing, and I would probably spend less on t-shirts and this, that, and the other. I'd be a little bit more raw in that sense. And I would also target bigger organizations. I guess that was my journey in business too, that I had to learn as I went along as well.
That's such an important message there. Like two key messages like really, really stuck with me. One, don't focus on things that don't generate revenue. We always get behind this flashy merch and all the other things, but don't actually focus on the process that actually gets sales. Because I tell people, if you don't have marketing and sales, you just have an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
Because I had one as a side hustler.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. And also, I believe in the one-to-many model. So it's easier to tap into one person or the organization as contact that'll lead to multiple clients. So that's a smart way of marketing then. So you pretty much answered questions like, what would you do differently? And what kind of worked for you if you had to start over today?
Sorry, and if I can link for a moment what I used to do with, as I said, I started out in a marketing department and I was a media officer, and some journalists wanted fax correspondence, some journalists wanted email correspondence, some journalists wanted me to pick up the phone. I've been a coach for a quarter of a century. If I need to get a message to all my players or all my parents or whatever it may be, some of them like WhatsApp, some of them like text message, some of them like Instagram message, some of them need a phone call. Some of them need an email. And I think the business approach I've always taken, or the sporting approach I've always taken, is to leave no stone unturned. So I'm going to the individual now, but eventually I'm going to the organization. It's not to rule out one or the other. And when people ask me about social media platforms, which ones do you do, Lee? I say, I do all of them. And we need to find which one's the best. And that's always been my approach, Priya, that leave no stone unturned to try and get what you want to get in business or in life or sport.
Yeah, especially when it comes to social media platforms, there's no point in putting all your eggs in one basket. And if the platform shuts you down, you have to start from scratch. So,
and some companies work better on Instagram. Some companies work better on Facebook. Some work better on LinkedIn. Some work better on TikTok. My rugby league business is absolutely a Facebook business. And as much as I try, it's still a Facebook business. I think it'll take another 5 years to be an Instagram business. Other businesses that I've been involved in starting up have been predominantly Instagram businesses, and you never know until you know. And that's why you've got to keep trying different things and whatnot. 2 weeks ago, I did a tweet about the cricket and it ended up on news.com.au.
Really?
They did a screenshot, yeah. And I found Twitter really hard to get absolute massive traction. But that just shows you in the social media world, you're only one post away or one tweet or one video from going viral or being famous in some way.
Yeah, when people give up so quickly, I'm like, how many times did you try? You know, they just post one post and they expect them to go viral. I completely agree. Like for me, Instagram is my primary lead gen. Like Facebook, I've got zero conversion from my actual business page or my personal. I don't post much on my personal profile, but I use a lot of Facebook groups. So they are like organic gold mine. Yeah. So I try to tap into the Facebook groups, but Instagram works really, really well for me. And I never believed people would pay thousands of dollars of Instagram without seeing you until someone paid me. So I think people need to believe and build that evidence. Basically, it's working.
I think that's
a challenge.
I think, you know, if I can use an analogy, somebody at home is trying to put something together, build a table from IKEA or something like that. Most of us tend to not look at the instructions or have a brief look at the instructions and think we know what we're doing. And we get there from trial and error.
That's
nine times out of 10. It's exactly the same with social media. With any business I get involved with or I start or whatever it may be, you never know until you know. And you never know until you keep knocking on every door as many times as you can, see if it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it does, it does.
Have you found like a perfect formula for social media success for yourself?
The recipe or the formula tends to be a combination of messages as opposed to social media. So I've been dealing with a couple of political clients at the minute, and straight away we come up with a formula of what are the messages we need to get out there. And then once you know the messages that you need to get out there, sometimes those messages lend themselves to social media products. So I have other clients who move slowly on Facebook, move a bit faster on Instagram, but on TikTok, they can do live sales. And it really is horses for courses. It's about what works for each one. So the formula, the recipes I tend to look for is what are the messages we need to get out there? And that's probably my marketing background to an extent. What are the messages we need to get out there? And then the platforms afterwards come after that. If there's a second element to that, it then becomes how often you post and what you post and when. And then that becomes, is there a set strategy? Well, I think when you're not directly selling something in that moment, you need to tell a story as much as you can. When you're getting closer to the point, you need to go, this horse is for sale. You need to be quite clear about how you do it. So there's different strands to it there in terms of, right now, I'm not trying to sell, but, and that's what I call soft marketing, doing podcasts, providing content for people to build trust. But then eventually you'll go, hang on a minute, have you seen this product? I think you should buy it. And you should never be scared to do that.
That's right. Okay. So tell us about Lee Addison podcast. How did you start and what is the aim and what's your plan for 2024?
Well, I've done, it feels like a million podcasts over the years. I had the Rugby League Coach podcast. I host one for a media guy that I do social media for. I've done a Rugby League in Europe podcast with some people over in Europe. So I've done plenty. So to me, podcasts are a great way for people to get to know you. So the amount of people that have picked up the phone to me in the last 2 years and said, "Hi, Lee, I've been listening to your podcast for a while. Can we do some business?" And on those podcasts, I have done zero selling. So the Lee Addison podcast, well, first of all, I spent literally a week with my business coach. We were looking for different names for the podcast. What can we call it? What can we call it? And at one point, another person said to me, well, as long as your name's in there, that's the main thing. You can call it Just Going Mad by Lee Addison or whatever it may be. And I just came to the conclusion, I might as well just call it the Lee Addison podcast. And what's it about? It's about anything that's important to me. So right now at the moment, I'm getting quite uptight and angry and passionate about the two things, the cost of living crisis and the crime, what feels like an epidemic in Australia at the minute. What's that got to do with business? Probably the first one, plenty, cost of living. The second one, crime, probably diddly squat. But again, I'm trying to get people, if you like, to just listen to my opinions, and you'll find that from doing that, it just builds up trust. And then if it just so happens that they need an outcome that I can provide, then maybe we'll end up doing some kind of business at some point. But so the goals are just to help businesses get bigger by getting themselves out there. That's my goal for 2024. A nice simple one. I want to make businesses understand that in this day and age now, I mean, you and I spoke about AI. Most of the businesses I work with wouldn't even know what AI means. Because they're
Do you
still
see a lot of business having resistance to AI? Are they scared of AI? Are they like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with it.
I think because we're in that niche, Priya, and because we are doing things that are somewhat technological, so we're on a mobile phone a lot or a laptop a lot or two screens or three screens, or we underestimate sometimes how predisposed we are to these things. So your mobile phone, the algorithms and the social media will probably bring up things about AI and the conversations and the people that you have around you. AI comes up in conversation, you naturally leaning towards it. My reaction to your question is some of them have only just got used to the fact that they need to be out there on social media. And I'm talking some of the biggest business people and companies you can think of as well. Like it's unbelievable. They've done it the old fashioned way.
I'm not surprised when I meet people in face-to-face networking like BX, BNI.
Yeah.
I'm surprised how do they turn over 500,000 without any social media presence. They just have a Facebook business page because they believe they have to have them.
That's right.
It's not active. They don't generate any leads via social media. Yeah. And if they just think about social media, they think running ads, they just go boost post, pay $20, and they just pray they get something out of it. And yeah, it's funny, but there are a few businesses that operate like that because they've been in the industry for quite a long time. They've got systems, teams, and processes in place which has worked for them. And they just, you know, double down on the model that has worked for them.
And I think that model is fine.
Yeah.
But there's no two ways about it. In 5 to 10 years, that model will probably not work anymore. So I use the analogy of grandparents, parents, and children. So they've had a business of some kind, let's call it a shop. The grandparents probably pass the shop down to the parents. Meanwhile, the parents' children, who are now 20 to 30, they don't particularly want to be stood behind a shop counter all day. They want to be out there on Instagram, on TikTok and whatnot. They want to be influencers. They understand that they could sell things in, if you like, they could sell food from a dark kitchen. They could sell products from home and do it online. And another example I always use, and this is why my rugby league experiences have been so good. I've spent a lot of time around young people for the last 25 years. And one thing that's emerging hugely now is anybody from the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, a lot of their downtime is spent on devices. In 5-10 years' time, they are going to be the adults that we're hoping to sell products to.
Yep.
Where are they going to find us? They're going to find us on the devices. And maybe those devices are attached to their bodies literally in 10 years. I don't know. But ultimately, this is where the world is going. And it's not going to be the old-fashioned way for much longer, I don't think.
I agree with you 100%. There'll be businesses that adapt to AI, especially AI, and then they will be pioneers and front runners. And there'll be businesses who show resistance and probably they'll not be in the market anymore. It's really going to be interesting to see how things are going to change, because in 2023, we've got so much, the life has changed with AI. I think we were part of AI a long time. We just didn't realize it until ChatGPT just blew up the whole world.
I think ChatGPT did that, but then also some of the AI that I've been exposed to literally before we started recording, but also in the last few months, I've literally gone, wow.
Yeah.
So ChatGPT never made me go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I understood what it was. I thought, yeah, that's good, but it never made me go, wow. Since then, I have gone, wow, on a few occasions. And when you say wow about something, you should probably give it a whirl. I use the example historically as well, Amazon. I've bought books from Amazon for 20 years. I checked my Amazon account the other day and my first book was in 2003 from really? Amazon, right? I was at university at the time doing my teaching degree. So that just gives you an idea. Somebody at a higher end of education, a tutor said, if you want to get some books for this course, you should try Amazon. And we were like, what's Amazon? What's Amazon? What's Amazon? It took governments 10 to 15 years to realize that Amazon was destroying bookshops.
Yeah.
And also not paying any tax in most of the countries that it was operating in. So the high street was dying of bookshops while Amazon was cleaning. And now Amazon has branched out. Another one is Netflix. The blockbuster journey to Netflix, how that's changed. Well, this is just our modern version of it now. And I think the pace of technology at the moment is, I wouldn't say frightening because I'm not frightened by it, but for some people it should be. I think we've had the Industrial Revolution. I would argue we're probably in something like an entrepreneurial revolution, but also a technological revolution, I think.
Yeah, and I would call it AI revolution.
Yeah, or AI, yeah. Automation, maybe that's the term. I mean, the term we use, we'd probably have to debate, and that would be a three-hour podcast, but there's definitely something going on. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we walked through a shopping supermarket and there wasn't any electronic machines taking it. It wasn't that long ago, was it, Priya? And
exactly.
And like and even now at airports, by them.
Even yeah. at airports, all the self-check-in baggages, yeah. you don't yeah. have to go to the counter, do a check-in. You just self-check-in. You print out your bag tags, then tie it, just throw it, and it's all gone. Like you don't even speak to the person.
I've not worked out AI that can wash my dishes for me after I've had dinner, though. I've still not worked that one out.
Well, that'll be a good one. Even like rinsing and loading the dishwasher seems to be a lot of work. I agree with you on that.
Hey, listeners, before we jump back into today's episode, I want to tell you about an incredible opportunity that's perfect for those of you who are always asking these questions yourself. How can I earn more money? How do I get more customers without spending on ads and fancy funnels? How can I generate recurring income without selling all the time? How do I create wealth without trading time for money? How can I transition from being a one-person show to mastering delegation? If this sounds like you, then you're going to love our sponsors for this episode, The Pivot Mastermind, a life-changing six-month intensive experience designed to help you launch and scale your digital empire. But that's not all. One of the standout features of this mastermind is that each attendee gets a dedicated virtual assistant to handle the admin and social media marketing tasks. That means you can focus on what truly matters, growing your business and enjoying the freedom that comes with it. Don't wait any longer. Click on the link in the show notes to apply today and take the first step towards transforming your business and your life with the Pivot Mastermind. Now let's get back to today's episode.
So if someone is starting out without the rugby league experience in the social media marketing agency model, what would be your wise words of wisdom?
Well, first of all, and you said this when I interviewed you for my podcast, you can monetize anything. So whatever you think you are good at or your opinion is respected for or something you can offer, I would argue get yourself out there and see what happens. And you're only one post away from somebody buying something off you or making you big time. I've literally recently been planning, and I use that term very loosely. I think I'm a bit more artist than scientist at times. And I'm thinking, what's my 2024 look like? And I actually asked myself a question, Priya. I said, what am I actually good at? So what does Lee Addison do? Well, yeah, coaches rugby league. Yeah, that's why I've done that. I'm all right at marketing and social media. Yeah, I've done that. What else am I good at? Well, I'm actually quite good. And previously, if I'd have said this to myself 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and I was sat with Dr. Priya and said this, you'd have gone, you're stupid, Lee. You could never make a business out of doing this. One of my traits is I'm actually very good at getting people together and making them all chat to each other.
That is definitely a skill.
And I'm also very good at taking people out for drinks and making them relax. So I can promise you that in 2024, I will have a business that has something in and around that. And I don't think 10 years ago, anybody would have dared to dream like that, or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked about podcasts earlier. Well, one of the reasons I do podcasts as well is I love talking and I think I'm a good conversationalist. So it lends itself to that. Again, what right have I got to do a podcast? and make myself. By the way, are you interested in my opinions? No? Yes? You can just do that. And that's what I'd say to anyone. Just get out there and whatever you've got to offer for the world, put it in some kind of palatable format and see if people like it.
And that's the entrepreneurial spirit, isn't it? Otherwise, we would have just been in a 9-to-5 job doing what other people want. You get into business to do what you want. So you want thoughts to be aired out. And if anyone is keen, they're going to listen to you. You're not going to force anyone into listening. And this is the point I see most business owners missing. They just fit themselves into a mold, trying to just fit in that, this is what I should do. Okay, I'll do this to grow my business. They don't give themselves that level of freedom and free spirit to do that. Do you come across that a lot with your clients or people who you meet?
Yeah, people are stuck in their ways. It's a very simple term, a phrase I've used, but it's true. Also, there's something that came into mind when we were talking there, Priya. I think the expertise level that you need to be considered an expert in anything has actually dropped quite significantly.
Oh, sure.
Because there are so many people out there now that will give you a contrary opinion to what you've been told all your life. So on my Instagram account, my however many I have on my phone at the minute, there's an advert that keeps popping up that says this kind of layout for Instagram posts is old fashioned. My opinion, no, it isn't. You're just trying to get people to buy your product so that they can do that Instagram layout.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't critically analyze when people come across and say, I'm an expert in this or sound like an expert. So I think the bar has been dropped significantly lower. But the beauty of that is it also means that the route to being an expert in something is actually quite accessible for anybody in any walk of life.
Especially, whether you're from housing commission or
Yeah. So you will know growing up where you grew up, and I know it from where I grew up. Some of the poorest kids in a state school were still some of the most intelligent that you will have met in your life. Yet because they weren't born into a certain family or born into a certain class, they couldn't get to the top of their particular tree.
Yep.
I'm reading a book right now about a lady called Fiona Hill who says she's the rarity rather than the norm. She's from the northern part of England, industrial town, but in those days, she managed to get to a grammar school, which got her to a university, Cambridge University. And then she's been a second or third in command to 3 US presidents, right? But says she's a rarity rather than common. And that's so true. Now, with this world that we are in, you can get yourself out there. You ask me, what is the advice? Get yourself out there because you can be that expert. If you think you're an expert, get it out there. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people who think they're experts, particularly on rugby league, biased in their views. But, and I hope what I've said doesn't make anybody out there think, I'm not sat here doubting your expertise, for example. But there are people who are not as talented as you going out there saying the same or similar concepts to you and making money from it. And the same with me too.
Yeah.
And that's a good opportunity for all of us. I see the opportunities in that rather than the barriers.
Yeah, I joke about this, right? Every man and his dog is a coach these days.
Very true.
They just do a $100 course or a webinar or a masterclass and they call themselves a coach. So I completely agree with you that the bar
is unregulated.
Really,
it's unregulated.
It is unregulated. Yeah. And even with regulations, people might complete a course. I know a lot of certified coaches still. They just stick to some worksheets, come to the coaching program with a worksheet and ask you to check the boxes. And I'm like, I don't think that's how it works. So,
True. No, I've seen too much.
Yeah, I know. So to the listeners, you were kind enough to offer them a 1-hour free strategy session. So tell us about that.
So I approach every single project that I take on with a fresh pair of eyes. So as I said to you earlier, the formula is based on the business I'm working with. From my teaching background, I never, ever tried to teach or coach a kid without knowing what they could do first. So again, it's another principle. I firmly believe you should find out the terrain that you're operating in. So I never go in with a one-size-fits-all approach. So this social strategy hour is important for me as it is for the person who's having a chat with me, because I've taken on projects, Priya, where they're pretty good on social media already. but I can just lift the amount of content for them and I can vary the content for them. And then I've got the others who, like I say, post the last post they did was 6 months ago and their mum and their auntie liked it. So that is a really important thing to find out. Take a deep dive into the social media journey. There are a couple of patterns that do pop up, and I think it's very hard to avoid this. I truly believe that people buy off people still.
Yeah.
So 20 years ago, you and I, Priya, would have had, I'd have had office number one, you'd have had office number four in the shopping center. And hopefully we get people, we'd have advertised in the yellow pages, maybe some newspapers. And if people got our trust and saw us out and about, they'd buy off us. Now we just do that on socials. We replicate that on socials. So I think that principle will always shine through in
That's
most
right.
in most projects. Because I don't know what businesses we can talk. You know, if you want a gardener, you want a gardener that you can trust. If you want a cleaner in your house, you want a cleaner that you can leave the key with so that when you're at work, they'll clean your house and not steal your belongings. If you're coaching kids, you want the parent to know that their kid is not going to get eaten alive by the coach. So people still buy off people.
Yeah. So is there a specific industry that you work with?
No. We're in the same networking group and I really struggle to
fish down on the referral.
What my ideal customer is. So I rotate it every week.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I've got one client right now who is very high profile, so much that they're on TV and radio and this, that, and the other. But honestly, they really struggle on social media because they've never needed it before.
Yeah.
That's what I think you alluded to that earlier. And then I've got others that are great on social media, but they just want to pass that on to somebody else so they can enjoy what they want to do or play tennis in the morning or whatever they want to do. So, and I've also got clients that are too busy doing what they're doing, i.e. building a wall or a house or fitting an air conditioner or selling products in a shop. So the last thing they need to focus on is social media.
Yeah.
So there really is no ideal client, big or small. And again, that's why the strategy conversation is good. I have turned clients away because I tell them, you're actually doing exactly what I would do anyway. So unless you want me to take that over for you so you don't have to worry about it. And a couple of clients have said, no, Lee, it's actually quite easy. So I said, no, you're on the right lines as far as I'm concerned and get back to me at some point.
Is there any specific case study or customer story that you want to share with us, like that just blew your mind with the kind of effort you did it for them or strategy or anything? Just a client's success story.
Can I give you two?
Yes, please.
Okay. One of the success stories so far has been a 350% increase in sales for a sports company. And I think the period was either 6 weeks or 2 months, something like that.
Wow. What platform was they on?
Instagram and Facebook. And what it became was a fusion of this old man who's just turned 45 with one of my old students, who I also coached in rugby league, who inherited a business but has that young person's spirit of wanting to sit on his phone and make all these flashy videos and this, that, and the other. And this fusion has meant that I will go through phases where I factor in some posts for him. But ultimately, our conversation each week is about marketing strategy. And it's things like I'm saying to him, all right, those videos are good that you're doing, but you've got to hit them in the first 2 seconds with what your message is. Or give them something in that first 2 seconds that keeps them there, right? He actually does a lot of the videos because he loves doing it. So why would I go, no, Lee's doing those videos, right? He loves doing them. And because he's still under 30, he's got great nature about the way he does them. And most of his friends like the way he does videos. So that fusion of him and I with my copywriting that I've done for him and where to put emojis and what hashtags to put in and also what he should post and when he should post it, it just had this amazing growth in no time at all. That's the first story. The second story is a guy who was doing podcasts and doing some fringe commentary in sport. I literally just got hold of his social media account that he'd not posted on for 6 months on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter on X, and literally did a post of him every single day. And the post was him, snippets of him talking in the media or on podcasts. Within a month, a high-ranking commentator in the world of sport in this country got in touch with him through his social media account, and he's now on two big commentary teams next year, mainstream.
That's amazing.
Because he was out there.
That's right. That's the message is so simple. Just get out there.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, it seems so simple, but too hard for people to follow.
That's right. That's right. And he, you know, he's a part-time media person, so he has a daytime job. And he can't sit on his phone during the day and create content because he's too busy.
Yeah.
And he actually forgets sometimes because his day job's going well too. So he's got his foot in both boats. And he said, Lee, can you take over my social and media account? And I think it took a month, maybe 5 weeks. So
really? Five weeks?
Oh. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So whoever is listening, the only message from both of us is just do it.
Absolutely.
Stealing it from Nike.
Nike might have a problem with you there, but
I know. Yeah,
just get yourself out there. Get yourself out there. And I think some people think too much about what they put out there too.
Yeah.
I have a rule with I tell all my clients, I say, if you've thought about a post for 5 minutes, you've thought too long.
That's right. I don't even revisit or listen to my own podcast. I just post them.
That's right.
Because when I listen to it again, I'm like, oh, there's too much ums and ahs, or maybe I should edit it, I should chop it. I'm like, I'm just going to post it.
But people don't care, Priya. People want to know that you've got some vulnerability.
That's right.
People want to know that you're human.
That's right.
I've recorded podcasts at home and my cat's jumped in and joined us on the podcast. Or once we made a huge mistake in the middle of the podcast, so we just kept going. We just, you know, on my websites, on the Rugby League Coach websites, I was recording some videos, a bit of a script, and I actually got the words wrong and just kept, I just kept them in.
Yeah, that's it. And that's how when you look back after 2 years, you'd be like, okay, I've come so far. You know, look at my videos. Like I've got my very first YouTube video in 2019. I had a Google phone back then. I just put my phone on the dining table and started recording. You can literally see my fingers go for the start and stop. And that's one of my top performing videos because it had so much content that people wanted, right?
Yeah.
So people don't really, they fancy all these fancy equipments, fancy backdrops, and it has to look professional. And all you have to do is just pick up your phone and talk. Just share what you have.
You've been in Australia too long, or Queensland. You just went, nah. but yeah, you're right. It's people analyze it too much. If your hair is out of place, post it.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I always try and make myself look a bit slimmer on the pictures and stuff, you know.
I know. Yeah, see? You've seen me in person, so.
that's just human nature, you know. But don't analyze it too much is my just. Get yourself out there and I think what I offer then is put some method behind the madness. So if your Facebook or your Instagram or your LinkedIn or your TikTok was a magazine, you'd have a combination of articles, you'd have a combination of stories, and you'd have the occasional advert. And that's basically what I try and do with people's socials.
Yeah, that's amazing, Lee. So where can people find you?
Normally in a pub, but online, sosocials.com.au. So I think it's a wonderful thing. The company's called Special Ops Socials. I'm sure if you Google it, it pops up. But also that abbreviates to SO Socials. So some people actually think it's So Social.
Yeah.
So I've got two business names, real, but yeah, Special Ops Socials. People can email me, lee@sosocials.com.au. On Facebook and Instagram, Special Ops Socials. Those pages are actually set up just to inform people about social media trends. I don't try and sell on there at all, really. I just say these are social media trends because most people I get who want my services, they don't spend enough time on social media for me to market.
That's right. Yes. They're all digital immigrants. I call them digital immigrants.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's a term I use for people.
I like that.
Yeah, digital immigrants just trying to find out, just finding their way in that social media maze. So,
like I said earlier, we're predisposed to certain things because we're predisposed to certain things, and that's I think people started to work that out when companies like Cambridge Analytica and I think the other company was Aggregate IQ. They started finding voters for elections that didn't exist previously and targeted them with adverts because of their social media data. And we're exactly the same, all of us. We are Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. They know so much about what we like and what we don't like.
Yeah, more than our partners and children and parents.
That's right. I always say, Pri, if you want to find what a person's really like, sit next to them. And you know the circle on Instagram, so you go you click on your profile picture, and then you at the bottom right, and then you click on the circle that looks like a spying glass. Mm-hmm. And then you actually see what should be of interest to that person. So it's a little social technique there. Have a look at what potentially interests that person. And again, one of the things that I do when I sit with people is I have a look at what they look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would then inform, it helps inform me how to target certain things when I'm writing or producing content. So, yeah. So if you click on that circle, that probably tells you more about that person and their wants and needs and desires than anything.
Right. Yeah, gone are the days where we just focus on demographic information. Now it's more about the psychographics, isn't it? What they like, what type of content they listen to, what's their go-to.
That's right. I'm sorry to mention him because no doubt there'll be plenty of people that hate him, but Donald Trump's election campaign in 2016 snuck under the radar because they targeted a huge amount of advertising to people based on what their likes and interests were. So if you hated Donald Trump, his face and his voice simply wasn't in there until right at the end that this is endorsed by Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
But the message had already gone across.
Yes, very sneaky.
So
the next election will be very interesting, I guess, with all these AI stuff now with deep fake. Certain things make me question, is it really AI or is it really true? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how it spans out in the new year. Thank you so much for your time. I think that was very insightful. I've never come across someone with the rugby league and the social media expertise, and you decided to keep both running parallelly. I'm super happy and super excited about it. So how are you going to divide your time? If you're looking at a pie chart, how much is social or SO social going to take up your time in rugby league?
Probably 70-30 social and 30 rugby league. That's because rugby league, as the business has been established now for 5.5 years.
Yeah.
I've recently done a deal with an external company to do a lot of the in-person coaching. A lot more of my time will be coach mentoring, so Zoom meetings, but also doing the occasional seminar and speaking to coaches and whatnot. Plus, a lot of my content is online, so people can look at it when I'm in bed asleep if they want. So that has freed me up a lot more. Also, like I said, there is going to be another business come next year as well. I'm keeping tight-lipped about that. But
will I get a special invite when it's out?
Oh,
when it's...
Of course you will. Of course you will. All I'll say is leave the car at home.
Okay. I'm sure that I can kind of figure out where the venue might be. Irish pub.
Or get a lift. Get a lift in.
Definitely. Wow. I look forward to it. I love having casual networking events where you can just be casual but still have some meaningful conversations and build that relationship. So I look forward to it. I wish you a very, very happy new year.
You too.
I'm sure I'll see you around. And I'll leave links to Lee's website, email, podcast, and socials in the show notes below. So if you want to take advantage of the social media audit, please contact Lee and he would be able to organize that for you. Thank you so much, Lee.
Thanks for having me.
I'll see you around sometime in person in 2024.
No doubt.
I truly hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed creating it just for you. Please follow Pivot to Thrive podcast on the platform you're listening to right now. It would mean the world to me if you could leave a review, and I'm so excited to see you on the next episode. Sending you loads of love, positive, and healing vibes your way. Stay blessed.